To see everyone and to know of all those who are able to be with us this morning, we're certainly glad to be able to be together. I appreciate that song being sung, Sweet Hour of Prayer. This morning we're going to talk about the prayers of Jesus. And this is not a study of one particular prayer, although the text that we just read is so enlightening and instructive, that Jesus taught the disciples a parable to this end, that men ought always to pray and to faint not. And then as he closed, he said, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily or suddenly when God, even though he delays a long time in answering our prayers, when our prayers are answered, he will do it suddenly, but the prayer will be answered. And Jesus said in light of this, nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth. Why did the disciples come to Jesus on one occasion and ask him, Lord, teach us to pray? Was it the frequency of the prayers of Jesus that they observed, or was it the fervency of his prayers? Or was it all of these things combined? Because when one looks at the prayers of Jesus, the times that he prayed and the things for which he prayed, and we realize that the disciples were there, it becomes more evident why they would be asking that question. But they certainly did. Jesus is teaching in Luke 18, and we may look at it in more detail in another study, but one of the things that comes out of this parable is that there is a strong connection between faith and prayer. Between faith and prayer. And so Jesus emphasizes this point, and then he asks, in conclusion, when the Son of Man cometh, will he find faith upon the earth? Let's look at the prayers of Jesus this morning. And as I said, we're not going to look at any one in specific detail, but to look at the prayer life of Jesus and to realize there's something probably missing in ours. When we observe that Jesus not only taught men what to do and what to pray, but that Jesus showed us how to do it. Let's look at his personal prayers. In Luke chapter 3, we are told that Jesus prayed at his baptism before he was anointed by the Holy Spirit. If we only read Matthew's record, we will see that Jesus, when he was baptized, came up out of the water and that the Spirit descended upon him. But when you read Luke's account, you find a little bit more. When all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying. Matthew doesn't tell us that. We miss something if we don't read all of the gospel records. He was praying. The Bible says the heaven was open and the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven saying, Thou art my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. This was a monumental occasion in the life of Jesus. Jesus was baptized not because he had committed any sin, but as he told John the Baptizer or John the Immerser, he was doing it to fulfill all righteousness. What does that mean? God had ordained that John the Baptist would preach the baptism for the remission of sins, and all who heard his message were to be baptized. And to fulfill that command, to fulfill all righteousness, Jesus obeyed it by being immersed in water like everyone else, for a different purpose. But he was immersed in water to fulfill all righteousness. It was a momentous occasion in the life of Jesus because the Holy Spirit came upon him, and it was from that point forward that Jesus began to engage in his public ministry. Another time that Jesus prayed was early in the morning, and this might tell us something. In Mark 1, verse 35, before Jesus headed to Galilee, the Bible says that in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. And Simon and they that were with him followed after him. And when they had found him, they said unto him, All men seek for thee. And he said unto them, Let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also, for therefore came I forth. The point I'm trying to make is that there are two things here that are striking. Number one is that Jesus got up before daylight. Jesus got up early in the morning. He began his day with prayer. Number two, he went into a solitary place. He went somewhere where he could be alone, where he could talk to the Father without distraction. Eventually, Peter found him and the others, and they went on with the day's work. But Jesus began his day with prayer. Now, this is the Son of God. This is the one who created the universe and life as we know it, John 1, 1 through 4. But he began his day with prayer. What should that say to us? Number three, after healing people. Luke 5:12, it came to pass when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And he put forth his hand and touched him and said, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he charged him to tell no man, but go and show thyself to the priest and offer for thy cleansing according as Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them. But look at how that episode ended in verse 16. He withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. Jesus had healed this man. Great multitudes came to hear. They were healed. He healed many people. He began his day with prayer. On this occasion, after doing the work of the Father, he ended it with prayer. Again, he went into the wilderness. He went into a place where he could rest, where he could think, where he could pray without interruption. That was a momentous occasion with all of those people who had been healed, but there was another one. Jesus was going to choose 12 men to be his apostles, people that would go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. But before he chose those men, he prayed. In fact, he prayed all night according to Luke 6 and verse 12. Jesus had just performed a miracle. Jesus had told his disciples that they were to pray. He had told them that they were to pray. But in Luke 6 and verse 12, it came to pass in those days that he went into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. I don't know about you. I have prayed sometimes longer than I have others, but I've never prayed all night. This was the Son of God. This was Jesus Christ. And he saw the need to pray to the Father and prayed to him all night, the Bible tells us, before selecting the 12, before choosing the 12 apostles. In Matthew chapter 10, chapter 9, we read the same account, but then in chapter 10, we find him choosing those apostles and that he prayed before doing that. Before walking on the water, in Mark chapter 6 and verse 46 and John 6 and verse 15, this happened after Jesus had fed the 5,000. Again, he sent away his disciples. But Jesus knew that they were caught in a storm that was on the sea. But what was Jesus found doing after he had performed a miracle? After all of these people had heard his message, he was alone praying. In Matthew 16, we read about Jesus coming into the coast of Caesarea Philippi. He asked his disciples, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Peter answered, and he said, but who do you say that I am? Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus, of course, told him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I want to stop there for a minute. If, again, we only read Matthew's record of this account, we get the impression that Jesus and the disciples are just walking along one day and Jesus just casually asked this question. But when you go and you look at Luke's record, you will find in Luke 9 and verse 18 that they had come into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, but Jesus had stopped. Jesus was praying. And the disciples came to him in the coast or the towns of Caesarea Philippi. And it was them that he asked them. You put them both together. If you only read one account, you miss something so important. So then Peter makes this confession, and Jesus said, you're blessed, Peter, Simon, because flesh and blood hath not revealed this. My Father has revealed this unto you. Was Peter's confession an answer to prayer? The indication is that it was. Jesus was praying. This was the most important confession that would ever be made. Jesus told him upon this rock, speaking of himself, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Jesus praised Peter, but he told Peter, this came from the Father. But Jesus had been praying before that happened. What about at the Transfiguration? Again, if we read the record from Matthew chapter 17, we will find that Jesus took Peter, James, and John, and they all went to the Mount of Transfiguration. But when you read Luke's account, you find that they didn't just walk up there and everything happened instantly or suddenly. But when they got to where they were going, Jesus began to pray. And it was while he was praying that his countenance was changed and that his raiment began to glow brilliantly white. He was transformed. What does that mean? The word comes from the word we use for metamorphosis. He was changed and spoke with Moses and Elijah. And the Father then said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him." And the reason he did it is because Peter wanted to build an altar for Moses, an altar for Elijah representing the prophets, and then an altar for Jesus. And the Father said, "No, Moses and the prophets, those things are being done away. This is my Son. You listen to him." The old law was nailed to the cross, Colossians 2 and verse 14. But what do we find Jesus doing before he was transfigured? He was praying. The disciples saw this. So they see Jesus, or they know about Jesus praying early in the morning, and Jesus praying after every miracle, and we find him praying on these other special occasions. Jesus prayed for Peter, Luke 22, 31 through 32. When Satan had desired to destroy Peter, the Lord said, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren." Jesus knew that Peter was going to deny him. But when he came back, when he was converted, when he turned around and came back to Christ, giving him 100% commitment, Jesus said, "Strengthen the brethren." But what did he do? He prayed for him. In Gethsemane, before he was betrayed, I put all of the passages up there on the screen for you to see. I mentioned this for others that might be listening. Matthew 26, verses 36 through 46. Luke 22, 39 through 46. Mark 14, 32 through 42. Remember that as Jesus was there in the garden, he had brought Peter, James, and John with him once more. But they went to sleep. The worst night of Jesus' life. And they went to sleep. Jesus prayed that night. We know he prayed three times. There were three separate prayers that evening. One of them was that he wouldn't have to go to the cross. If it be possible, he prayed, "Let this cup pass from me, but nevertheless, not thy will, but mine be done." That prayer was answered in the negative. The Father did not allow him to avoid the cross. That's why he had come into the world. But Jesus prayed and he asked. But he prayed as was prayed this morning, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." We know that we pray according to God's will. So Jesus began his day with prayer. When Jesus healed people, he prayed. The worst night of his life, he prayed. Prayed fervently. The Bible tells us he prayed so fervently that the sweat that was coming from his brow was, as it were, drops of blood. Doctors say there is a condition that will cause sweat droplets on the forehead to turn pink as though they were blood, because the capillaries, it's called hematidrosis, that the capillaries would rupture and that they would color the sweat. I don't know if that's what's meant or that he was sweating so profusely it was as though he was bleeding. And it doesn't matter. What matters is that he was hurting and his disciples were asleep. But he prayed. He prayed that night. Though we're not told the content of all the prayers that Jesus prayed, it is significant that Jesus, the very Son of God, prayed before every major event in his life. I'm going to say that again. The significance is that he prayed before every major event of his life, and sometimes for extremely long periods of time. Jesus. If Jesus found the need to do that, then why don't we? What is our prayer life like? Do we begin praying in the morning? Do we pray as Jesus did? Part of that is why the disciples once came to Jesus and said, "Teach us to pray." Let's look at his public prayers. Matthew 11, 25 through 26. Jesus had upbraided the cities of Chorazin and Bethsaida and Capernaum, and then he prays out loud to the Lord. In John chapter 6 and verse 11, Matthew 14, 19, Mark 6:41, Luke 9:16. Jesus here fed 5,000. There were 5,000 men that were there. But Jesus prayed for the food. He offered thanks for that food before he gave it to those 5,000. Again in Matthew 15 and verse 36 and Mark 8 and verses 6 through 7, he fed 4,000 on another occasion, but he did the same thing. He prayed and he offered thanks for the food before they ate. When he had sent out the 70, in Matthew chapter 10, we read about Jesus sending out 70 disciples to go and preach to the lost house, to the lost of the house of Israel. He gave them power. He gave them power over disease. He gave them power over demons, at least most of them. When they came back and they gave their report, the Bible says in Luke 10:17 that they returned again with joy, saying, "Lord, even the demons are subject unto us through thy name." Pardon me. And he said unto them, "I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven." What does that mean? Jesus saw the power of Satan being diminished dramatically and rapidly. He said, "Behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." Who was the enemy? It was Satan. Jesus said, "I've given you power over Satan." "Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not that the spirits be subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven." In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, and here's his prayer, "I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in thy sight." Jesus prayed in times of tragedy. He prayed at a common meal. He prayed when his disciples came back. He prayed in times of rejoicing. We often pray when we need things, but do we go back and pray when we receive them and offer prayers of rejoicing and thanksgiving? What Jesus did, if he is our example, then we could learn something from his prayers. So at the return of the 70, before delivering the disciples a model prayer, Jesus was praying. That's Luke 11 and verse 1. Let me turn to that passage and read just a little bit. "It came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, and as John also taught his disciples." They saw something different. Again, was it the frequency of his prayers? Was it the fervency of his prayers? Was it the length of his prayers? Whatever it was, they wanted to be like Jesus. So Jesus goes on to give them the model prayer. This is not the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer is found in John chapter 17. This was a model prayer that Jesus gave them. It included everything that was necessary. He said, "When you pray, our Father which art in heaven." Do I pray to Jesus? Do I pray to the Holy Spirit? Do I pray to the Father? Jesus said, "When you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, and as in heaven, so in earth," Luke records. "Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." So Jesus gave them a model prayer. It covers every relationship. It covers our needs. In that one succinct prayer, we cover all the things that really need to be covered. But Jesus prayed before delivering a model prayer. He prayed before Lazarus was raised from the dead. And he did this, if you want to turn to John 11, he did this not for his own sake, but for the sake of those who were there. John 11, look at verse 41. "They took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me." Before raising Lazarus, Jesus prayed that the people would get the message that was intended. Jesus prayed for children on multiple occasions. Matthew 19, 13 through 15. Mark 10, 13 through 16. Luke 18, 15 through 17. Jesus prayed for the Father to glorify the Father's name, John 12, 27 through 28. Jesus prayed at the institution of the Lord's Supper, Matthew 26, 26, Mark 14, verses 22 through 22, and Luke 22, 19. But Jesus prayed for the bread. He prayed for the fruit of the vine. He gave us an example to follow, and Paul mentions that example in the letter of 1 Corinthians. Jesus prayed for himself. He prayed for his disciples, and he prayed for all who would believe on him because of their words. In that sense, Jesus was even praying for us. Jesus prayed from the cross, Luke 23, 34, Matthew 27, 46, Mark 15, 34, and Luke 23 and verse 46. Right after Jesus was nailed to the cross, he prayed, "Father, forgive them, they know not what they do." While he was dying on the cross, Jesus cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Speaking to the Father who is in heaven. And in his dying breath, the third prayer, Jesus prayed, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." After the resurrection, Jesus appeared to two disciples that were on their way to Emmaus. And so they implored Jesus to come with them. Jesus, they did not know who he was. Jesus gave them the impression, the strong impression, that he was going to continue on, likely even said as much. But they begged and pleaded that he would stay and that he would eat with them. The Bible tells us that Jesus did, and when he sat down, that Jesus blessed the bread. He said a prayer of thanksgiving for the food. Then their eyes were opened and they immediately knew who it was, and he disappeared from their sight. But even Jesus, after he was raised from the dead, he prayed and offered thanks for that food. He prayed for his disciples, Luke 24, verses 50 through 53, before he ascended into heaven, by blessing them. Jesus is still praying for his people. Romans 8, verse 34, the Bible says, "Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us." The word intercession is another word for prayer. Vine says it means to plead with a person either for or against others. And so what Paul tells us here in this passage is that Jesus, even at the right hand of God, even as he is in heaven, that he still intercedes for his people. He still prays for his people. Hebrews 7 and verse 25. "Wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto him, that come unto him by God," pardon me, "seeing he ever liveth," here's the point, "to make intercession for them." He ever lives to make intercession for them. Who is the them? That's us. Jesus is making intercession. He is still praying to the Father on our behalf. John said in 1 John 2 and verse 1, "My little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby do we know that we know him if we keep his commandments." So when we look at the life of Jesus, we look at how he prayed early in the morning, he prayed late in the day. Once at least, if not twice, we know that he prayed all night long. He prayed before he ate a meal. He prayed on the darkest night of his life. He prayed when he instituted the Lord's Supper. He prayed before Peter confessed him as the Son of God. Jesus' prayer life was very busy, and it was intense. His disciples saw it, and they wanted to learn to pray like Jesus. And that's why they asked, "Lord, teach us to pray." By looking at his life, we learn so much about the life of Jesus. And to know that he is still our advocate, our intercessor, and our Savior is beyond words. So the question, is he your advocate this morning? Is he your intercessor this morning? Is he your Savior this morning? Have you been obedient to the gospel, acting upon faith to repent of sins, to confess Christ as the Son of God, and to be buried with him in baptism? Christ wants to be. And we read from John 17 that he prayed that he might be. He prayed that he could be your advocate this morning and your intercessor and your Savior. Why not let him be? If you have not already, why not let him be? And if he already is, remember that men ought always to pray and to faint not, Jesus said. One other blessing of prayer is that if we confess our sins, God will forgive us as his children, 1 John 1 and verse 9. The prayers of Jesus, intense, informative, instructive. We need to be like Jesus. If we haven't started, why not start today? If we can help, would you come as we stand and as we sing?